Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for Let's Talk About Jesus, our weekly Bible study right here on our website. Thank you for joining us today as we gather together around the Word of God. Thank you for taking time from the busyness of life, the distractions of life, the discouragements of life, to come for holy instructions from the Word of God. You know, there's a scripture in the New Testament, I just love it. It says the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scripture, you might have hope. Praise God. Well, we want to learn something about our God today that will give us hope in our hearts. So faith will have a target. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we have a target for our faith, and that's this hope that we have in God. Hallelujah. And the scriptures, both Old and New Covenant, tell us more and more and more about our God, not just His promises and His provisions, but His person, the God who gives us this grace, this mercy, this help that we need, this hope that we are desperate for, in particularly in the end time, as things become more hopeless because people become more helpless to do anything about all of the perplexing problems that we face in the end time in particular. Men's hearts failing them for fear, looking at things which are coming upon the earth. One pastor titled his message, Scared to Death. Oh, friend of mine, we don't need to be scared to death, and we don't need to be scared into some kind of just languishing and worrying and filled with anxiety. We should be filled with holy anticipation, because we're not looking at a hopeless end. We're looking at an endless hope. Praise God. Well, we want to take a Bible study today as we continue. We're going to try to change our format a little bit and do this in a little less time so that we will have people that take the time to come in and hear the Word of God. Amen. Thank you for being here once again. If you are a new listener, thank you. You only have one opportunity to be a first-time listener, and then if you come back again, you're part of the family. Well, what does that mean? That means that you're part of the family. Doesn't mean I don't have your email address, and if I did, I'm not going to solicit anything from you. Now, God just wants to bless you today. We're just here to be a blessing, to be an instrument in the hand of the Lord, and I pray He will use me to help you today with whatever your need is. We're studying on a great subject out of Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord, it declares, is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Praise God. Amen. As we study the name of the Lord, which is the title of our series here today, the name of the Lord, our strong tower. As we study the names of the Lord, we have Him identified to us through those who have experienced some facet of His unchanging character. In the time of their need, He became these things unto them. Today we're going to study Jehovah Sikinu, which means the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. Listen to this out of Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. It says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. This is speaking prophetically of Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, In his days Judah shall be saved. Ultimately, they rejected him, but ultimately they will receive him. And we're getting close to that ultimate time in the land of Israel, the people of Israel. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. Clearly not now, but it's coming soon. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Praise God. The Lord, our righteousness. Isaiah 54:14-17. It says, in righteousness thou shalt be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. Someone asked me one time, is this the devil and his work? No, this is any and all armed forces that come against his covenant people. When they are right with him, they can't harm them. I want to say that again. When they're right with him, they can't harm them. They cannot destroy them. So that's what it's saying in verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And listen, their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I'm your righteousness. I'm the one that pronounces you right with me. I do that so that I can defend thee, for I can cover thee, I can keep my covenant with thee. Someone said it well when it said, man cannot be saved by perfect obedience, for he cannot render it. He cannot be saved by imperfect obedience, for God cannot and will not accept it. The only answer is the cross and the shed blood of Jesus. Amen. Think about this, what God did for us when Jesus paid our sin debt on the cross. The Lord, our righteousness. Think about it. God not only forgives our sin, but he also imputes unto us Christ's innocence, Christ's purity, Christ's righteousness. That's why it says in the book of Ephesians that we are accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. A friend of mine, let me remind you of something today, biblically speaking. The Bible said there's none righteous, none that doeth good. There's none righteous, no, not one. Reiterated to us, because there's some people think they are. And that's called self-righteousness. And that doesn't cut it with God. We cannot possibly meet his standard for righteousness and being right with him, short of what Jesus has done for us so that we could receive it as a gift. That doesn't mean that we should live unrighteously or ungodly, or it's not license to sin, but it is a standing with God positionally where we're accepted by God in the family of God, to the degree that he calls us sons and daughters. Praise God. Amen. And the Bible said that we've been buried with Christ, raised with Christ, seated with Christ in heavenly places, heavenly realms. That word seated with means joint seating. Joint seating. Now, we're not divine, Lord knows, but we are part of the vine. Praise God. And because we are in Christ, we're accepted in the Beloved. He accepts us as his son. Jesus prayed for that, and this is how God answered that prayer in the book of John 16:17, 17th chapter. He said, Father, you know how I'm in you, and you're in me, we're one. Because of that, he said, I pray that they may be in us in that same relationship. And Father, you know the love wherewith you have loved me. I pray that you will love them, speaking of the disciples then and disciples now. I pray that you will love them with the same love wherewith you have loved me. Praise God. Friend of mine, God doesn't have any stepchildren. We're all the sons of God. And if sons of God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's why Romans 3:20 says it this way, "Therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in His sight." They might be in other people's sight. They might be in their own sight, but not in God's sight. "Therefore by the deeds of the law," keeping the law to the letter, which no one has ever been able to do, "shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God." Remember this, Jehovah Sikinu, the Lord, our righteousness. Praise God. Amen. "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Praise God. Listen, friend, there's no way that you and I can become so pure, so holy, so absolutely, sinlessly perfect that we don't need the righteousness given us as a result of what Jesus did on the cross. Listen, "even the righteousness of God," Romans 3:22, "which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's the bad news. Here's the good news. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ." In Christ alone. In Christ alone. Solo Cristo. That's how we're made right with God. And that's why the Apostle Paul argued. He said, "What more shall we say to these things? What more can we say to these things but this? It is God that justifieth. It is Christ that is risen from the dead." What did it say about His resurrection? He was raised for our justification. It's a forensic term. It means to be pronounced not guilty. And when we are pronounced by God not guilty, because we have been made right with Him, right-wise with Him through the shed blood of Jesus, doesn't mean license to sin, this gift of righteousness. It means that we now have a standing with God that we could never earn. We should always strive to keep every one of the commandments. We should strive to do that. In fact, we will if we were truly born again, because the Bible said that His seed remains in us that we sin not. It goes on to say, amen, "if any man does sin," if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, doesn't mean sin rules us. Doesn't mean that we're still enslaved to sin because of Satan holding us prisoners in darkness. No, no, no. We serve a new master. Praise God. Amen. I love the song that says, "Sin doesn't live here anymore." That's why it says, don't let sin reign in you any longer. Don't let sin be the rule of your life. Let righteousness be the rule. "For the grace of God," the scriptures declare, "that's appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, we should live righteously, soberly, righteously, and godly in the world." Praise God. "In the midst of a wicked and perverse generation," the Bible says in another verse of New Testament scripture, "you shine as lights in the world." Glory be to God. Being right with God means that there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Praise God. No condemnation. "Who is he that condemneth?" Paul said. It's God that justifies. And when He pronounces you right with Himself, the devil and people, and no accusation is going to be received. Amen. Hallelujah. No, nothing attributed to you from your past. Listen, and nothing attributed to you if you have a stumbling and you repent of it and get up and go on. Amen. God deals so thoroughly with our sin to keep us right with Him. Thank God that He is Jehovah Sikinu, the Lord, our righteousness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, today you can be made right with God. You can come to the cross. You can run to the cross. You can have your sins forgiven. You can be justified. Hallelujah. One Christian said, it's just as if I have never sinned. I have been justified. Praise God. Just as if I had never sinned. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the Lord our righteousness? Think of it. God not only forgives our sin, but He also imputes or puts to our account Christ's innocence. He accepts us in the Beloved because He accepts us as the Beloved. Are you worthy of that? No. Am I worthy of that? No. That's why the song was written about the amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Friend of mine, just as you are, with all of your habits, your proclivities to sin, your sinful practices, all of that, bring every burden, every sin, all of the shame, bring it to the foot of the cross. Bring it to the Christ who paid a price so God could forgive your sin, so you could be reconciled unto God. Come, just as the song says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Come today. Come today and be saved. You say, Pastor, I can't live the life. You're right. You're right. The Apostle Paul put it this way after he came to Christ. And he said, by the way, among sinners, I'm chief. He held the cloaks of them that killed Christian martyrs for the sake of the gospel. He held their cloak. He egged them on. He participated. He considered himself to be the worst sinner of all. And yet, he says, now I'm dead, but yet I'm alive. But it's no more I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. Amen. You can come just as you are, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just come today. Come to Jesus. Repent of your sin. Come and kneel before Him. Come and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, so that the Lord can become your righteousness. Hallelujah. And God will accept you in the Beloved, because He will now accept you as His Beloved. You're not divine. I'm not divine. I'm striving every day to do better, to be better. But right now, I have a standing with God. Hallelujah. That helps me. That lifts me up when I fall. That gives me courage. That gives me strength to be what I could never be and do what I could never do. So don't let your weakness, your past, hold you back. Run to Jesus as your strong tower and be saved in Jesus' name.